Chapter 3. Opposers of Truth.
I was shown the case of Stevenson and Hall of Wisconsin. I saw that while we were in Wisconsin in June 1854, they were convicted that the visions were of God, but they examined them and compared them with their views of the age to come. And because the visions did not agree with these, they sacrificed the visions for the age to come. And while on their journey east last spring, they both were wrong and designing. They have stumbled over the age to come, and they are ready to take any course to injure the review. Its friends must be awake and do what they can to save the children of God from deception. These men are uniting with a lying and corrupt people. They have had evidence of this. And while they were professing sympathy and union with my husband, they, especially Stevenson, were biting like an adder behind his back. While their words were smooth with him, they were inflaming Wisconsin against the review and its conductors. Especially was Stevenson active in this matter. Their object has been to have the review publish the age to come theory, or to destroy its influence. And while my husband was open-hearted and unsuspecting, seeking ways to remove their jealousy, and frankly opening to them the affairs of the office and trying to help them, they were watching for evil, and observing everything with a jealous eye. Said the angel as I beheld them, "Think ye, feeble man, that ye can stay the work of God? Feeble man, one touch of his finger can lay thee prostrate. He will suffer thee but a little while." I was pointed back to the rise of the Advent doctrine, and even before that time, and saw that there had not been a parallel to the deception, misrepresentation, and falsehood that has been practiced by the messenger party, or such an association of corrupt hearts under a cloak of religion. Some honest hearts have been influenced by them, concluding that they must have at least some cause for their statements, thinking them incapable of uttering so glaring falsehoods. I saw that such will have evidence of the truth of these matters. The Church of God should move straight along, as though they were not such a people in the world. I saw that decided efforts should be made to show those who are unchristian in life their wrongs, and if they do not reform, they should be separated from the precious and holy, that God may have a clean and pure people that he can delight in. Dishonor him not by linking or uniting the clean with the unclean. I was shown some coming from the east to the west. I saw that it should not be the object of those who leave the east for the west to get rich, but to win souls to the truth. Said the angel, "Let your works show that it is not for honor or to lay up a treasure on earth, that ye have moved west, but to hold up and exalt the standard of truth." I saw that those who move west should be like men waiting for their Lord. Said the angel, "Be a living example to those in the west. Let your works show that you are God's peculiar people and that you have a peculiar work, to give the last message of mercy to the world. Let your works show to those around you that this world is not your home." I saw that those who have entangled themselves should break the snare of the enemy and go free. Lay not treasures upon earth, but show by your lives that you are laying up treasure in heaven. If God has called you west, he has a work, an exalted work, for you to do. Let your faith and experience help those who have not a living experience. Let not the attraction be to this poor, dark speck of a world, but let it be upward to God, glory, and heaven. Let not the care and perplexity of farms here engross your mind, but you can safely be wrapped up in contemplating Abraham's farm. We are heirs to that immortal inheritance. Wean your affections from earth and dwell upon heavenly things. Further explanation from the appendix on this matter of the opposers of truth and the messenger party says, In the summer of 1854, there appeared among the Sabbath-keeping Adventists the first disaffection or apostasy. Two men who had been preaching the message were reproved through the spirit of prophecy for a harsh, censorious spirit, for avarice, and for extravagance in the use of means placed in their hands. Becoming embittered instead of repentant, they joined with a few others in unjust recrimination against Elder and Mrs. White and other leaders, making false charges against them. Although continuing to advocate the Sabbath truth, they began the publication of a slanderous sheet which they called The Messenger of Truth. They were joined by Elders Stevenson and Hall of Wisconsin. These men had been first-day Adventist preachers who professed to accept the truths of the third angel's message, but who continued to hold doctrines regarding the age to come. According to this theory, there was to be, during the millennium, a second chance for salvation. They agreed, however, to preach the message without advocating this question if the review would not publish articles against it. However, as indicated in the text, they did not keep their promise and were soon opposing the review and its supporters. The course of these opposers of the truth was soon run. Both Stevenson and Hall lost their reason. The Messenger of Truth ceased publication in 1857, and early in 1858, Elder White reported regarding the party, "Not one of the 18 messengers of which they once boasted as being with them is now bearing a public testimony, and not one place of regular meeting of our knowledge among them." That's taken from the Review and Herald, January 14, 1858. Now back to the text.